Leviticus chapter 20, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Leviticus 20, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that gives any of his seed, any of his children, to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Death penalty, God says, for anyone, any parent, who burns their child alive in the arms of Moloch, the false god, they will be put to death. And they should be. Anyone who thinks stoning parents to death for burning their children alive in the worship of some demonic god, anyone who thinks that that penalty is too severe is probably part of the crime problem in our nation today. Child killers don't need a second chance. Society needs to guarantee that they don't get a second chance to hurt one more child. Verse 3, And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed to Moloch, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. Offering children to Moloch is exactly what Israel eventually did. They did it. You can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. And God did turn his face against them, just as he said he would. In fact, that was the final straw that sent them into Babylonian captivity. 4. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he gives of his seed to Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. To witness the murder of a child for Moloch. And by extension, you could stretch this principle to anyone who witnesses any cold-blooded murder. To witness that and remain silent makes that person a partner in the crime. Those who refuse to dish out just penalties, people in office too, who refuse to dish out just penalties, and the people who re-elect them, who agree with it, are guilty along with the criminals who do the crime. We have a responsibility to be good citizens, and that includes fighting for justice and not turning a blind eye to things that are wrong, pretending that they're not there. Verse 6. And the soul that turns after such us as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. God says, you play around with the occult, you practice sorcery, and you will die. That's your just punishment. Why is that such a bad thing? Well, because God said so. But you want another reason? 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Because involvement with the occult, why is that wrong? Because involvement with the occult is spiritual adultery and treason. You need to remember, this is God's world, And he deserves our obedience. And he also demands our holiness. He deserves it. He demands it. Verse 9. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. God's explanation for putting somebody who cursed their father or mother to death, this is his explanation. Because it's their mother and father. He doesn't have to say any more than that. Do you realize that there are some people today who advocate a child being able to sue his parents for divorce? And I know some parents are just horrible, and they abuse their children. And society needs to protect those children. On the other hand, God established family government, and he put parents in charge. And so rebellion against parents is rebellion against God. And again, I'm not saying that a child should have to endure abuse, as God would define abuse. But any parent that allows their child to disrespect them brings a curse on that child and the family, and ultimately on the nation. It is sinful. 10. And the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, another man, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. Verse 6 or 15. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach to any beast and lie down thereto, you shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And this entire section deals with unspeakable sexual sins. And did you notice how God is the one who lumped all these together? He puts adultery, incest, homosexuality, and bestiality all in the same category. So I guess you're going to be one of these open-minded denominations who are ordaining, practicing homosexuals, and condoning the sin in general. If you're going to condone that, well, then you better condone incest, and you better condone bestiality, because they're all in the same category. You just can't get away from the truth of God's word, no matter how hard you try to twist it. All these things are wicked abominations, which God says deserves death. Yes, that's what he says. And why does God hate these so much? Well, because they're not normal. You say they're normal for me. No, they're not. God determines what's normal. But these sins destroy families and destroy nations because they are perversions of what God has established to be correct. Say, I don't believe it. Well, sexual sins destroyed Babylon. They destroyed Egypt. They destroyed Rome. They destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to destroy us too if we continue to condone them. 17. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. and apparently incest with a full or half-sister was not punished by death, but by expulsion from the camp. When it says he will bear his iniquity, it means that God will determine at the time what punishment he will inflict on them. 18. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among the people. So having intercourse during menstruation, God says, is a sin. But again, it was not to be punished by death, only separation from the camp, because they would be unclean. 19. And you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, nor of your father's sister. For he uncovers his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall be childless, or die childless. And 21. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. The penalty for these forms of incest with near kin was not death, as it was in the case of a parent and a child. He mentions they will die childless. That doesn't mean that they would never be able to have children. It may mean that their children would die before them, or it may mean that their children would not have any hereditary privileges. That could be another way that they were punished. Verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. You see, this idea that we can live any way we please and not pay a price as a nation is a lie. It's just not true. People today sing God Bless America, and yet we cut off his blessing by the terrible sins that we commit. And worse than that, condoning sin. It's one thing to commit a sin, confess it and repent of it, but to condone it and say it's all right, and then to sing God Bless America is mockery. 23. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. God abhorred them for committing these sins. And we're doing these things in our country today, and not just in our country. They're being done in many nations of the world, so-called Christian nations. And since God is no respecter of persons, I can only conclude that God abhors us and those other nations that condone the same thing as well. 24. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Flowing with milk and honey means exactly what it sounds like it means. It means a land that was blessed agriculturally, plenty of food, very prosperous, very fertile, happy people. 25. You shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And so God's special diet, which we have seen in earlier chapters, his special diet for his people not only made them healthier, but it also separated them from the heathen. See, it made intermarriage and fellowship between the heathen and the Israelites a lot less likely. If you can't sit down and enjoy a meal with someone, how are you going to get to know them? That's a fellowship thing. 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Again, God gives them the command to be holy, for he is holy. Holiness isn't cool today. It's really not. Worldliness is cool, even in many churches. Holiness is not cool. But God demands it. No, he doesn't demand it to be saved. But because we are saved, and because it is correct. And when I say that he doesn't demand it to be saved, I'm not denying the scripture that says without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. That's true. But I'm just saying you can't conjure up your own holiness and bring yourself up to a holiness level that will make you acceptable to God and earn yourself salvation. That's what I'm talking about. But if you are saved, because you've repented and received Christ as Lord and Savior, then you will strive for holiness. And when you fail, you confess and get back on track.